Welcome to Inside Seaweed, the podcast looking deep into the seaweed industry through the stories of pioneers, entrepreneurs, and innovators. I'm Fed the Gobby, and my guest today is Oliver Gregerson, founder and CEO of Ocean Rainforest, one of the largest seaweed cultivation companies in Europe, which also operates in California. Oliver is an incredibly experienced entrepreneur and international speaker, primarily focused on seaweed cultivation and growth in the blue bioeconomy. I was initially going to talk to Oliver as part of a very short interview that we had planned to talk about his role as a keynote speaker for this year's edition of Seaweed Culture EU in Norway. But we got chatting and I couldn't help asking more questions, and it kind of turned into a half an hour interview, which touched on a lot of interesting points, and I really wanted to share it with you. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange episode, shorter than usual, but there's quite a lot of interesting stuff in there, and I think you'll find it to be good value. So anyway, here it is. Oliver, thank you very much for joining. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I hear you're traveling. You're in California at the moment.
I am in Santa Barbara, California, yeah.
Very nice. Look, obviously we want to keep this fairly quick, but can you give a quick introduction of Ocean Rainforest?
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. Ocean Rainforest is a company producing seaweed in the North Atlantic and now also in the Pacific outside California. Producing seaweed, it means that we span the supply chain from, we are having our own hatcheries where we are producing seedlings. Then we have our own licensing both in Faroes and in California, where we are deploying a cultivation system that we have developed ourselves. And in the Faroes, we have developed those over the last 10 years. And they are especially intended to withstand the harsh conditions in the North Atlantic. And in California, we are then using a variation of that system as well, also offshore. So we cultivate, so we produce seedlings in the hatchery. We seed it on lines that we deploy on our cultivation systems. And then we harvest the seaweed. Also there in the Faroe Islands, we have our own boat, our own vessel for doing that. And then we process it into what we call a storage stable product. That means that the seaweed is processed into a dried or fermented or a frozen product that we sell business to business. And that's basically what we do.
Fantastic. Thanks for that. So you essentially, you focus on the farming side of things, the hatchery and the cultivation, and then process. And so you sell a processed product. Who tend to be your customers?
We have decided some years ago that we would focus on business customers, so that we try to understand what are the needs of different business segments, you can say. That can be food or feed or cosmetics or extraction industries that would like to extract some bioactive compounds from the seaweed. And then we sell to those companies, and we try to understand their needs, because we know that the bioactive compounds in the seaweed, they vary throughout the season. And there are some companies that are especially interested in laminarines, and there are others that are interested in a high food grade quality. And in the Faroe Islands, we begin harvesting end of April, and we continue our harvest into October. So basically over a period of 5 to 6 months. And that means that we can supply different types of seaweed, so to say, or different seasons of seaweed into different customer segments. And we hope we can replicate something similar in California. However, we don't know that yet, because we are fairly young in our cultivation efforts in California. But in the Faroes, that's how we do it. And that's how we see also that we can become a valuable commercial partner for the full value chain, because our customers, then they are then producing different products from the seaweed we are selling to them. And that can be everything from food, feed, cosmetics, or extracting compounds that are then used into different industrialized products.
Yeah, I was going to ask you whether your customers sort of cover all of the range. Are you seeing pretty much everything from food to feed and nutraceuticals, all of the various possible uses, or have you got a predominant section of the market?
No, I mean, definitely the predominant is feed and food. But fortunately, we see a big interest from a large range of different companies to use seaweed as an alternative source to replace different products, especially because of the sustainable footprint, so to say, seaweed cultivation has.
What sort of products, in your case, in your experience, what sort of products do you think the market finds seaweed appealing in terms of a substitute?
We are experiencing a lot of interest, especially from the dairy sector, where the hope is that seaweed can contribute to reduce the carbon footprint related to protein production in the dairy sector. And we know that there's a lot of focus on methane emission from dairy cattle. And can seaweed reduce methane? We know that some species of seaweed can do that. But we also know that seaweed can have health benefits on both livestock and humans. And if we can reduce the usage of antibiotics, that is also an health benefit that seaweed can provide in both livestock production and also in for humans in general. But when we are talking proteins, again, if we look at the dairy cattle, if we can increase, for instance, milk production by adding seaweed to the feed composition, then we can increase the amount of protein produced. And since seaweed does take up carbon, and when we grow it, and in general has one of the smallest carbon footprint compared to other food and feed products, then we can increase protein production and reduce the carbon footprint related to that protein production. And I think, if I should say something general, that is what we experience as attraction in the market, that there are a variety of industries that are looking at seaweed as a promising alternative source that can do this, provide these functionalities.
What would you say is the biggest portion in terms of who your customers are? What I'm thinking is there a sector or an industry or a specific use and application where you see a big chunk of your biomass production?
Yeah, well, it's for 23, we expect that around 40% of our production will go into feed, and a bit the same, 40% into food, and then 20% into different extraction.
And feed, do you find feed to be mostly bovine type feed?
No, I mean, this is what we call the functional feed additive.
Okay.
Most of the feed products we produce are fermented seaweed, because when we ferment seaweed, we have seen that it provides a probiotic functionality to feed, and that it strengthens the gut lineage of the animals that consumes the seaweed. We have especially worked with pigs on this. And the result is for the farmer that the sows are producing more milk. There's less mortality among the piglets or offspring from the sows, and the production of antibodies in the sows increases, so that their general immune defense system is improved. So for the farmer, it means that they get more milk, more for the piglets, and more piglets alive, and reduced cost for antibiotics. And basically, they have a happier pigs and a more healthy and sustainable food product coming out of the livestock production.
Just to stay on this for just a little bit longer, you know, with seaweed, we talk often about how many things, how many applications exist, and how many potential uses exist. But there's also this sort of long-standing question for a lot of farmers about who is going to buy my seaweed. How do you tend to find your customers? Do they find you, or have you invested a lot in marketing and research?
We have, we have always worked hand in hand, both with respect to developing cultivation systems and understand how to grow seaweed, and also understand who's going to buy it.
Yeah.
And we have had a close collaboration with our customers right from basically from we started. So, and that's also why, I mean, every year we sell whatever we can produce, because we have this close collaboration with our customers. And for some, that has been going on for the last, I don't know, 8 years or so, since 13 or 14, when we started to work on a deliberate scale, so to say. It was small scale, but still we tried to understand what we were doing and understand how we can improve seaweed cultivation. I think it's very important that you keep in mind who's going to buy your product, because seaweed as a resource or as a biomass is characterized with that it, after 24 hours, it starts to deteriorate. So you have to make it storage stable. And there's basically three ways you can do it. It's drying it, fermented it, or freezing it. Those three ways all have their characteristics, their benefits and their drawbacks, and also their cost. So if you want to grow seaweed, you have to understand who's going to buy your seaweed. Otherwise, you can end up spending a lot of money first putting gear in the ocean to grow the seaweed and then spending money on making the storage stable. But if you don't have a customer to buy it, well, you can sit on that seaweed for a period of time. And that's not good for anybody.
That's a very interesting point. And it sounds like what you're suggesting is know who your customer is going to be before you even put the seeds in the water.
Yeah, it sounds very simplistic in that way. But I think many underestimate the fact that the market is more difficult than, for instance, I'm not saying it's easy to sell a fish. But if you have been out and caught some cod or herring or something, and you land it, you know that there will be somewhere some place that will buy it, at least if you reduce the price enough. That's not necessarily the case with seaweed, because seaweed is a bit more a complex product, so to say, when it comes to market. There are not that many buyers of seaweed as a fresh material. Actually, there are quite few. And even if you have a dried product, in the Western Hemisphere, we don't have a lot of experience of using seaweed in our daily food production. And I think that puts a limitation on how many buyers you can find. But this also depends a bit where you are. I mean, if you are close to an urban environment where you have a lot of restaurants, then it's easier to sell, for instance, even fresh seaweed, because it has become more and more popular to use fresh seaweed in food. And if you are farming at a small scale, that might be a very good fit to farm at a small scale and sell at a relatively high price, but you can sell it fresh and those who are buying don't need a lot of quantities. So then that is a market segment for you.
Is this in any way behind your decision to expand into California?
No. The main driver for us expanding or going to California was there was an interest from the American Department of Energy in the U.S.
All right.
to come up with a method to cultivate seaweed in large scale, so that the seaweed biomass could eventually become a alternative for energy supplies for the U.S. We all know that might be the case sometimes in the future, but we also know that that's not going to happen tomorrow or within the next first years. But on the other hand, there is a great interest to at least come to the understanding, how can we cultivate seaweed in large scale? And that is also something we have been working on since the very beginning of ocean rainforest. How can we utilize 70% of the planet, which is the ocean, to grow something that is so good to take up CO2 as seaweed and produce a biomass that can capture CO2 in the ocean and replace products that are currently using fossil-based products. And that was the fundamental idea behind ocean rainforest. And that's also why we went to California, because here we are growing a system, a species called giant kelp. And giant kelp is characterized with, as the name kind of indicate, that the plants can be up to 25 meter long. And we have the opportunity to produce a lot of biomass and then also be a candidate for replacing or being a supplier of biomass into one of those segments that many are hoping seaweed can make an impact on, and that is the packaging industry, to where we can use seaweed to replace plastic.
Quick one, guys. I wanted to let you know about the new Inside Seaweed newsletter. Would you like to get a super short email from me every month with 3 actionable insights for your seaweed business? I will search the seaweed industry for the most important lessons, the most useful conclusions and relevant actions, condensed into a half page that I will share with you each month. It's really easy to sign up and just as easy to cancel. So if you'd like to give it a try, head over to insideseaweed.com. Look, I'm going to take switch gear completely, if that's okay. And obviously, we're here to talk about, among other things, Seagriculture Conference EU, which is happening on June 21st and 22nd in Trondheim in Norway. I'm guessing it's not your first Seagriculture Conference you're attending?
No, it's not. So I've been at many, perhaps on most of them. I don't think I think I missed some of them, but I definitely been on most of them, and I've always enjoyed to participate at the conference, partly to hear about new developments, new research, and also to hear about new companies that are emerging in this sector, but not at least to maintain the network. Meet persons that now, you know, it's more than, or it's around 10 years since this started. So some of the people that I know working in this field, I have become, even friends, and definitely I know many of them well. And it's always good to catch up and have a talk about how things are developing. And then also, it's a great opportunity to meet new people, and that's what this new industry needs. That we continuously get more people involved and interested in developing what I sometimes find difficult to call an industry, because we are still so small in Europe and in the Western Hemisphere in general. But there is definitely a lot of entrepreneurial endeavors, as I sometimes like to refer to it or call it. And we all want to build an industry, and we need all the best people to help us doing that.
Absolutely, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was hoping you'd say that that you've attended quite a few, because I wanted to ask you if you've noticed any changes over the last few years in terms of perhaps the level of attendance, the sort of general vibe and atmosphere at the conference. Has the approach changed in any way over the last few years, or the topic being discussed, anything at all?
Yeah, I think you can say that this is a conference that, first and foremost, it has established itself as, I would say, the seaweed conference of the year in Europe, and now it's starting in the US as well, but definitely in Europe. It is the it's the seaweed conference that you would like to attend, on an annual basis, and as such, it has also changed a bit format. I think it's great that you have this opportunity to have a booth where you can present your goods as a company. And you have a great mix between science and industry presentation. And also, there is rich opportunities to network through breaks and social settings. So I think the change, if I should mention anything, is that I think it's good that they are traveling around Europe and because that gives also attendants to the opportunity to experience new things and see how seaweed activities are carried out different parts of Europe and that's also why I think it's great that it's in Trondheim this year.
Are you looking forward to anything in particular this year?
I think apart from coming to Trondheim in Norway, which is a great city, or a great place to be in, I am looking forward to meet those people that I was unfortunately not able to participate last year. I think what I'm most looking forward to is to meet people again that I haven't seen for some time. And also, we had, 2 years of COVID where it was not possible to meet. So I think that is the single thing that I'm mostly looking forward to.
Are you going to speak at the conference this year?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. That I have been asked to give a talk. I'm of course honored to do that, and I think they've titled it a keynote speech, but I will give a talk, and I will talk about some of the aspects that I find very important for development of this industry. It's very much related to how to scale up this industry and also the financial ecosystem. I often refer to it, or I've started to refer to it as such, the financial ecosystem that is needed to enable a scale up of the industry in the Western Hemisphere.
It sounds really interesting. It's definitely a topic that is becoming more and more relevant. Why do you think it's important?
No, I mean, I think for some years there has been a great enthusiasm about seaweed as a biomass and the fact that we can grow it and we can use the ocean for it and we can do it completely sustainable. And all that's great. But we also have to make it an industry. And if we want to make it an industry, we have to be certain that we can supply quantities or biomass in quantities that are meaningful for those industries that are going to buy it or use it. And that can be within food, feed, or other industry segments. So that's one thing. We need to make sure that we can supply enough biomass. And the other thing is also that we have to be cost competitive. And today, the cost of producing seaweed is too high compared to most industrial production, or if we want to replace some of the existing biomass that are land-based. So we have to focus on how can we reduce the cost of producing seaweed by cultivation in the ocean. And I think there are ways to do that, but it's also related to scaling up. And if we want to scale up, we need to get funding for that. And we can partly do it through equities, but we also need other parties, financial parties, and to join that funding effort. And we talk a lot about different shapes, different forms of blue finance, so to say. And this is where I see as very instrumental in enabling scaling up seaweed cultivation, and through that reducing the cost of producing the biomass.
How would you summarize your vision for the seaweed industry to scale up if you had to explain it in like 15 seconds?
We need to scale up seaweed cultivation so that we can produce enough quantities to supply the large food and feed industries in Europe and beyond. and we have to do it at competitive costs.
Do you see any particular tool or solution or approach that will allow us to do that? Is Blue Finance one of them, for example?
Yeah. I mean, the financial ecosystem around saving and debt involves both investors, but it also involves insurance company that can insure what is put into the ocean, because that will make it easier to get finance to the equipment. And that also involves different standardization bodies, because we need to have standards both for the equipment that we put in the ocean, but also for the products we are bringing to the market that are suitable for seaweed. So this involves a lot of different parties or different stakeholders that have a say on making this possible. And that's why I refer to it as a financial ecosystem.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. I'm really looking forward to hearing your talk, and obviously looking forward to meeting you in person at the conference in Trondheim, Norway, June 21st, 22nd. See you soon.
Thank you. Likewise.